If you could turn me, please, in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark. All the best finding it in the dark now. The Gospel according to Mark and the chapter. Amen. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 16. And again, I want to thank the sound team for organising that video this evening. Greatly appreciated. And I trust that what you saw gave you a bit more insight in relation to the work in Spain, and indeed various items that you can pray for. While there are similarities with God's work, no matter where it is in the world, similar difficulties, similar trials, yet at the same time, every area and every land will have its own cultural aspects to it. And so many people in Spain, in darkness, whether it be through the secular perspective that they have, whether it be through Roman Catholicism, or indeed the cults. But may the Lord be pleased to ever bless the gospel as it goes forth, and bring many people from darkness into light, from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. But Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, the context is that this is the first day of the week after Jesus Christ has been crucified upon the cross. And as disciples of the Lord go to the tomb, Jesus Christ, they discover, has been raised from the dead. And if you look with me at verse 15, we read that he, that is Christ, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As I watched that video earlier on today of our brother Uncle Alvareth, the concept and indeed the desire that was mentioned in the video of this worldwide vision of all the world needing to hear the gospel came forth. And so just for a few moments, it'll not be a full message by any means, but for a few moments I want to look at this great commission. But let us bow briefly in a word of prayer. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank you for thy precious word. Father, it is that which directs us in the way that is right. Father, we thank you that we are not those who are Father, I need to have not my perspective, but thy perspective. Father, I need to see this world as thou dost see it. I need to have the heart that you have. And Father, I pray you be pleased to give us all such. For the glory of Christ, the advancement of his kingdom, the glory of his name. Lord, we ask it all now, praying that Christ would save the travel of his own soul and be satisfied. Lord, fill me afresh with thy Holy Spirit. Use me simply as your channel. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Rhinoceroses boast many great abilities. You think of their size. They're the second largest land mammal in the world. They can grow to 6 feet in height and 11 feet in length. They can weigh up to 3.5 ton. And you think, well, that's very big. But that's no doubt very strong. But you think also then not merely at their size and their strength, but at their speed. They can run and they can charge at up to 30 to 40 miles per hour. Now you think about Usain Bolt, the fastest runner in the world, and yet he can only run at his max at 28 miles per hour. And you think of 3.5 ton coming at you, 6 feet in height, 11 feet behind that 6 feet. And you think of the strength that there is in such a creature. But while a rhinoceros may boast great abilities, yet it has a great weakness. According to National Geographic, a rhinoceros cannot discern the difference between a tree and a human at 3 meters. Just 3 meters. Its eyesight is very poor. And so what it does see is just what is immediately around it. Boasts great abilities, but has a great weakness. Whenever we think about the church, whenever we think about ourselves, Christ has given us a great commission. And that commission is more than just 3 meters beyond us. It's a commission for the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a message to myself. And may the Lord be pleased to apply it to every one of our hearts, comforting us, challenging us, where it needs to be applied in such manners. But I wonder, do sometimes we only have a very short vision? We're so concerned with what's around us, we're so concerned with our daily routine and our daily responsibilities, that we are like rhinoceroses, we don't see the greater picture. We don't see the many people. Christ, we read in the gospel records, we see of a man who only saw men as trees walking. And do we only see just objects, but we don't see souls? Souls that are on their way to hell. Souls even for whom Christ died. For whom Christ went to the cross and shed his precious blood and went through the equivalent of eternal agony on that cross, as he paid the debt for their sins. And we don't see people as such. We just see our own little world. Why is it that God has you and me still here? We have loved ones that have gone before us into glory. But why does God still have you and I here? That's a question I've asked myself again and again. You know, if God's primary purpose for us as his people is that we would love him more, well, surely it would be better just for him to take us straight to glory, because then we'd love him perfectly. If God's primary purpose for you and I, dear child of God, was likeness to Christ, well, then surely it would make better sense for God to take us to heaven immediately, because then we'd be perfectly like Christ. If God's primary purpose for us on this earth was that we would know him, well, then surely it would make better sense for us to be taken immediately upon our salvation straight to glory, because then we would know God. Why is it that God leaves us here? Yes, that we would grow in love for him. Yes, grow in likeness to Christ. And yes, grow in knowledge of him. But surely there is another reason. If you want to turn me, please, just to two references. Matthew chapter 5, first and foremost. Matthew chapter 5. In the verse 16. Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says these words to his disciples: "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What's one thing you and I cannot do in heaven that we can do now? It is shine. Shine before men. If you want to turn me, please, to 1 Peter and the chapter 2. 1 Peter and the chapter 2. Verse 9, God's servant, inspired by the Spirit of God, declares these words to God's people, to you and to me tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." According to these verses, you and I have obtained mercy. You and I have been saved. And our reason for being on this earth is that we, as a people, collectively, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises, the excellencies of Christ, who has saved us. What is one thing that we cannot do in heaven that you and I can do now? And it is this: to seek the fulfillment of the Great Commission, to shine before this world, that men and women, by the grace of God, will hear of Christ and come to know Christ as Savior. Is that not the primary reason for why we are still on this earth? Is that not our primary purpose for God giving breath into our lungs every single morning? Is that not why God still gives us time on this earth? Because God still has a purpose for you and I to do. It is to show forth Christ, to seek through prayer, through our practical actions, the fulfillment of this great commission. Yes, we are to grow in our knowledge of God. Yes, we are to grow in our likeness of Christ. Yes, we are to grow in our love for God. But all to this one end, that we will show forth Christ, that we will seek the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And yet, in light of all of that, I wonder this evening how many of us just wake up in the morning and I speak to myself and we think, well, I've got this to do and I've got that to do and I've got that responsibility and I've got this thing to get done today. But yet we're like rhinoceros, we only see just 3 meters in front of us. And yet there's this great picture. Christ has given us this day that we would seek the fulfillment of that great commission. What is our perspective every day? What is our mindset every day? Is it just short-sightedness? Or is it that greater sight that we're on this earth for a purpose? We're on this earth for a reason. God has shown us mercy that others may receive and obtain mercy. I want just for a few moments here to look at this great commission. Notice with me, first of all, that God's commission requires action. In Mark chapter 16 and the verse 15, Christ said unto his disciples, and indeed to you and I this evening, he says the same words, "Go ye." Someone has rightly said, you and I cannot spell gospel without go. And is it not often true that we and I can say, it's, well, you know what, I'm saved and that's my duty done. And it's easy just to sit back. Well, I'm saved. I've listened to God's command to repent and to believe the gospel and I've done that. Well, that's all I've needed to do. I've done my bit on this earth. But no, we have not done our bit on this earth. Until Christ takes us to glory or until he returns again, he still has a work for us to do. Go ye. God's commission requires action. It requires effort. It requires energy. It requires a getting up and a doing. Go ye. Go ye and seek the fulfillment of my commission. Go ye and seek that souls are won to the Lord. Go ye. May the Lord be pleased to make me to hear every single morning I wake up, because it's not what I think of whenever I first wake up in the morning at the present. But may God so write this commission upon my heart that whenever I wake up in the morning, and indeed whenever I am sitting down at my lunch, may I hear these words, "Go ye." Throughout every single day, the beginning of every day, I have been given life that day because God wants me to hear, "Go ye." Seek the fulfillment of my great commission. In all your responsibilities, in all your duties, in all the places you go to, in all the places you meet, and the people you meet, go ye. Seek the fulfillment of my great commission. Many of you and I will know the name of Dwight L. Moody, and how he is known for preaching to thousands of people, preaching in great missions and great conferences. But yet D.L. Moody is one, whenever you read of his life story, he placed much value on personal work. He was saved through personal work, personal witness, one-to-one. He was saved through that. He would declare that he resolved to try to win a person to Christ every day, even if it was just one. If he was busy, and there was times he was busy, and there were times he forgot about that great commission. If he got into bed and it came back to his mind, he declared that he got out of bed and he sought to speak to somebody, even if it was going into the street. He got this, "Go ye." That's the reason why he existed every day, "Go ye." That's the reason why we've existed today. That's why it's the reason we existed the day before. But I wonder, when was the last time we had that perspective? When was the last time we sought to go and to seek the fulfillment of the Great Commission? Whenever we went into our place of work, or we went to and we met people, and we had that perspective, God has given me this day, God has given me this opportunity that I may seek to do something. Something for Him. That people may hear of Christ and come to know Him. And even if we don't meet anybody in a particular day, maybe we're at home, but that we will pray. Go ye. The great God's commission requires action. May we all every morning hear those words, go ye. Notice with me, second of all tonight, God's commission requires care. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Christ said unto His disciples, go ye into all the world. And indeed, preach the gospel to, underline it, every creature. God wants everybody, every single person, to hear the gospel. God does not just want some people to hear the gospel of Christ. God does not just want our family to hear the gospel of Christ. God does not just want our close friends to hear the gospel of Christ. God does not just want our closest work colleagues to hear the gospel of Christ. God does not just want our neighbors who are a door or two beside us to hear the gospel of Christ. God wants every single creature, every single person of all ages, every single one, to hear the gospel of Christ. Every person in Dromore and the surrounding areas, every person in County Down, every person in Northern Ireland, every person in the United Kingdom, every person in the Republic of Ireland, every person in Europe, every person in the world. God's desire is that every single person hears the good news of Christ. And therefore, does God's commission not require care? That we actually care for people. I have no doubt that we all care for our families, that they hear the gospel of Christ, our immediate families. I've no doubt that many of us care that our wider family circles hear of Christ. Our nieces, our nephews, our cousins, whatever it may be. I've no doubt that many of us have a care that people in general hear the gospel in Dromore and the surrounding areas. I've no doubt that many tonight have a desire that people in Northern Ireland hear. But what about beyond our immediate 3 meters? What about beyond? How often are the nations of this world, the little tiny countries, the little tiny nations, the parts of the world that are in darkness, how often do we desire that the nations of the world hear of Christ? We can care for people that we see. We can care for people that we have a commonality with. But what about people on the other side of the world? Do we care? When was the last time we prayed for God's word in other nations? When was the last time we prayed and really cared that they heard the gospel? God's commission requires action. It requires care. But notice with me, thirdly, God's commission requires cooperation. You see, whenever Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that's a very overwhelming commission, is it not? How can you and I possibly ever fulfill it? While I'm told in this world, according to the United Nations calculation, in this very month of 2022, there's 7.98 billion people in the world. Their best estimate of their calculations. By 2050, there will be 9.8 billion, if all things remain the same. But you just think Northern Ireland alone. In the 2021 census, I'm told there was 1.9 million in Northern Ireland. If you and I were to try to speak to every person in Northern Ireland over a course of 70 years, that would necessitate to you and I speaking to 79 people every day. If you and I set aside 10 minutes to speak to every one of those 79 people, that would equate to 13 hours of conversations every day. How can you and I ever fulfill this great commission? How can you and I ever, as individuals, ever seek that every creature and every person on this earth hears the gospel? We cannot. It's beyond us as individuals. But you see, that's why we must see ourselves not merely as individuals, but as a body, a church. Yes, a congregation. Yes, a denomination, not merely in this country and in this province, not merely in the mainland, not merely in the republic, not merely in some parts of the world, but let us see ourselves as part of God's people, as a collective body, God's true people. And let us pray that all of God's people, that everybody in this congregation is saved, that everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, that every one of us, let's pray, let us see ourselves as a body. Because God's commission requires cooperation. There will be people that you will meet I will never even set my eyes upon. Never, that mention, even have the opportunity to speak with and see him with my life, come with you. But let us see that we're here together. Let us pray for one another together, that we will seek to be a light in this world, that people will hear of Christ. Let us pray that we'll have the courage to take opportunities, that we'll pray, Lord, lead me to some soul today, and then, Lord, teach me what to say. Let's pray for the denomination as a whole in this province, and indeed throughout the world. Let's pray for the missionaries in this denomination, such as our brother Uncle Alvarez, that the Lord will give him opportunities and give the believers there in Spain opportunities to speak of Christ. Let's pray for ministers and missionaries that belong to God throughout this world. That's how we seek to fulfill this great commission, is through cooperation. Caring for people throughout the world, but then cooperating, working with the people of God. Praying for them. Supporting them financially if they need it. But also encouraging them. Have you ever thought about praying to the Lord and asking him to lay even one missionary upon your heart that you could send an email to, or you could send them a letter to, just to be an encouragement, not to add to their burden, but just to encourage them, just to speak with them, just to build up a bit of correspondence with them. Let's encourage people that they will seek to fulfill the Great Commission. God's commission then fourthly requires focus. Mark 16:15, Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. This English term gospel comes from an old English word which is good spell. Good spell. Good, of course, is good, and spell is that of a story or indeed a message. Good message. That's the old English. Indeed, that's what the Greek is. Euangelion, a good message. What is that good message? Well, you turn over just a few pages. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. In verse 8, we read about shepherds abiding in the field. In verse 9, we read of one angel of the Lord coming upon those shepherds. The glory of the Lord shining round about those shepherds. And in verse 10, this is what the one angel said. Verse 10 of Luke 2. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, take note, listen to this. I bring you good tidings, a good message of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What is the good tidings? It is a person. The gospel is a person. We are to reveal a person. By our lives and by our lips, collectively together, we are to reveal a person, a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. The Apostle Paul summarized it this way. We preach Christ and him crucified. We preach one who is a Christ, one who is chosen, appointed by God, one who is a prophet to free us and to save us from error, one who is a priest, one who will save us from the punishment of our sins by offering himself a sacrifice, one who is a king, one who will save us from the bondage of our sins by conforming us into his image and likeness. We are to present by our lives and by our lips person. Who he is, what he's done in our lives, and what he offers in the gospel to all people. Let me just finish tonight by noting one other thing. God's commission requires variety. Requires variety. I'm tempted to ask you, for some people to shout out and tell me how many different terms in the New Testament alone are used for presenting, preaching the gospel message. I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are. But there are 15 of them. 15 different Greek terms for preaching, presenting, teaching the gospel. Perhaps that'll be a message someday. But for example, one of them is the idea of a herald. A herald was, of course, a person, a representative sent out by the local authority, and they would go into the village, and in a formal setting, with authority and gravity, they would declare forth the message. And of course, we read of the Apostle Paul in that formal setting, going forth and going in to the synagogues and the place of public worship and heralding the gospel, preaching forth the gospel with authority and gravity. And of course, that's one way that we fulfill the Great Commission on the Lord's Day, the preaching of Christ in the morning and in the evening. But then there is another word. While we have keruso, which is the idea of the herald, yet there is another word, karangelo. And that's the idea of preaching, but in the less formal setting, more in the idea of the open air. And there, of course, there is there on every second Saturday of the month, going into the open air and preaching the gospel. But then there's other words. For example, if you want to turn me, please, to Acts chapter 26. Just quickly. I'm not going to labor this too much, but Acts chapter 26. I'll do enough by God's grace to get the point across. Acts chapter 26, verse 31. Paul has been before Agrippa, and before Festus, and before Bernice. And we read in verse 30, and when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them, verse 31 of Acts 26, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves. Agrippa and Festus just talked between themselves, a one-to-one situation. And that is a specific Greek term. They talked between themselves. It's the idea just of talking, of just speaking one-to-one. It's not a herald here. But yet, if you want to turn me, please, now to Acts chapter 11, and we'll see that exact same Greek term translated as preaching. Acts chapter 11 and the verse 19. The people of God have been there in Jerusalem, and the persecution has come, and the people of God have spread out. And we read in verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phenis and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching. That's the same word. Lalio, talking, speaking the word. Of course, there is a word for teach in Matthew 28, verse 20. Teach all nations. There's another word. It's the idea of going through a message. Diangelo. Going through a message in detail. Discussing something, studying something with somebody. Reverend Angel Alvarez spoke about a discipleship course. Speaking with him on the Lord's Day afternoon, he spoke about different types of people that he would go through this gospel discipleship course with. And he even spoke about how, while yes, it would be for those who had believed and they wanted to learn more of the Word of God and perhaps even wanted to become members. But even on occasions, there's been people in that disciple course that are not saved and coming in, and as the servant of God just goes through in detail the gospel message, some have come to know the Lord as Savior. The point I want to get home to you, while I'm not going to go through the rest of the 15 words, is that this great commission involves variety. Yes, there are the formal occasions where we will have public worship and corporate worship, and there is the heralding, the preaching forth of the gospel with authority and with gravity by the grace of God. Yes, there is the slightly less formal, but yet it's still a planned going into the open air and declaring the gospel message. And yes, there is official planned occasions for outreach and knocking doors. And there is the official planned outreaches of Sunday school and children's meetings and your fellowship. There are the official formal planned. But then there is also the other aspects of variety. Like Peter and John. They went into the temple to pray, but as they were walking in the temple, they happened to see a beggar. And I'll not break into song about how he went walking and leaping and praising God, but it's the idea. They just met somebody and they talked the gospel with that person. There is to be that variety. Through the church and all of its arranges and all its arrangements, but also in our families, just speaking the gospel. As we meet people, neighbors, in our work, in our places of study, on the street, like Peter and John just speaking the gospel. There's other words which actually for preaching is the idea of making war, defending, answering, disputing, discussing. And maybe somebody comes up and they have a go at Christianity. Well, that's one of the Greek terms. Give an answer. Defend. Give an answer for the hope that lies within you. All this variety, all circumstances of life, it all flows into this one simple command. Go ye. Go ye. And seek the fulfillment of my great commission. At the very beginning of that deputation video, you and I saw Reverend Ankel Alvarez walking through streets in Spain. And he said that as he goes through the streets, he cannot help but hear the words of the Lord. And have the same heart. A people without a shepherd. A people without a savior. A people who are lost. Do we have that same care? Not just for our families. Not just for this time. Not just for this country. But for this world. A people without a shepherd. Lost. On their way to hell. And yet Christ has died and came into this world and died to save sinners. People from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Do we care for our Savior who went through such travail that he will see of the travail of a soul and be satisfied? Do we care? Do we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, help me to go and deceive through prayer and through witness and through practical means the fulfillment of thy great commission? That's why we're alive today. That's the primary reason. May God help us to fulfill it every day. To do what we can for him. Let's come to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we are not left in darkness. We have been brought to Christ in salvation. But Father, we thank thee also that even though we are saved, we were not left in darkness as to what thou wouldst have us to do. Father, I pray help us not to be like the rhino. Great abilities, great opportunities, great, Lord, as it were, ability to make an impact, but yet we are so short-sighted. Lord, help us to be those who are like the eagle, who sees the great distance away. And Father, give us the heart that Christ has, who sees the people, who sees the nations and sees them as sheep without a shepherd. Father, help us to care for them. Help us, Lord, to care for Christ above all. Lord, that surely is the greatest motivation out of all of this. Christ is the one who loved us. Christ is the one who died and shed his blood for us. Christ is the one who shed his blood and died for others. And Lord, He wants them to come to know him. He wants them brought into the family and fold of God. He wants them rescued. He wants them saved. And Father, he's chosen to use us as his instruments. Help us not to grieve our Savior. Help us not to neglect our Savior. Help us to love our Savior. Help us, Lord, to see that our Savior satisfies and a people coming unto Him. Oh, Father, we read that this is how Thou art glorified, that we shine as lights in this world. May these words, "Go ye," be imprinted upon mind every morning I wake up, throughout the day continually, that lest I forget, upon every one of us here, that we will seek to determine that this day we will pray, this day we will put into practice where we can, that people will hear of Christ. Lord, make us to be those that are focused on the Great Commission and not get lost in all the other responsibilities of life, but use those responsibilities, use those duties that you've blessed us with to see the advancement of this Great Commission. In Jesus' name we pray it all.